Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? Dear Lord, have you read the news this week? Political assassinations, the military deployed in an American city, an escalating conflict in the Middle East. And there's more. I'm sure there's more that I don't have the bandwidth to pay attention to. It's all just so overwhelming. Now, the good news that we get to proclaim this morning is that Jesus rescues us. But between now and then, wouldn't it be easier just to give up? In today's passage from Luke's gospel, Jesus and the disciples travel to the country of the Gerasenes across the sea from Galilee, his home base. As Jesus stepped out of the boat into the Gentile-controlled territory, a man of the city who had demons was already there to meet him. Luke tells us that the man wore no clothes. For a long time, he had slept among the tombs, the dead his only companions. Throughout his life, he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus demanded the demons to come out, commanded them to come out. They replied through the man's mouth, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Jesus asked then, what is your name? It was thought that a demon's name was the key to overthrowing it. Names held and hold power. Legion, the man said, for many demons had entered him. Now think about where Jesus was and where he had come from. Even though he stood outside of Israel proper, it didn't matter. What was in common? The Romans ruled there too. How? With violence. And who delivered that violence? Soldiers. Soldiers who came in legions. I imagine that a first century person hearing this story would immediately identify with the man kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles by a legion of enemy forces. In the face of the overwhelming might of the Roman Empire and the spiritual reality behind it, what hope was there? Wouldn't it have been easier just to give up? The man had. He had capitulated to the legion that colonized not only his body, but his soul. In the face of overwhelming political might and its spiritual backing, what else was there to do but cave? What else is there to do? Sure, it might have meant good things get left undone, but it might mean that we come to the end of our lives with a long list of regrets because we chose to give up. But at least then we'd be safe, right? Safe is good, right? Well, maybe we need to make a distinction between good safe and evil safe. Good safety frees us to grow and change. Evil safety, I think, leaves us defeated and demoralized, stumbling forward through life, surrendered to the forces that dominate us. Safe? Yes, at least safe from physical harm. Is that good safety? No, I don't think so. It's a safety we gain by giving up. And you know what? We are not the only people to experience that temptation to give up. Jesus gets it. In the wilderness after his baptism, the enemy came. Jesus knows the temptation to cave. He knows the temptation to surrender. He knows the temptation to shrink back from his purpose. He was given the option to give up, and he didn't. And he didn't with the man by the water either. He gained the name Legion. He recognized that there were many voices occupying the man's soul. He sent the demons away into the pigs, and the pigs rushed down the steep bank to the lake where they drowned. When the people from the town came, they found the man clothed and in his right mind. Jesus didn't give up. He rescued the demoniac. And he continued that work of rescue. When confronted by the religious leaders, he kept going. When confronted by the death of his friend Lazarus, he kept going. When confronted with a wild crowd outside the Jerusalem gate, he kept going. When confronted with money changers defiling the temple, he kept going. When confronted with betrayal and torture and death, he kept going. When confronted with hell itself, Jesus kept going. He kept going all the way through death to resurrection. Jesus rescued the man. Jesus rescued the world. Jesus rescues us. The legion of problems in our world cannot overcome Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And because King Jesus rescued, rescues, and will rescue us, those evil forces cannot overcome us either. Thanks be to God. That rescue might rush in to save, as it did with the demoniac. But perhaps more often than not, that rescue comes differently. Jesus' rescue ambles in and enfolds us in love. So let's look at Elijah. Elijah's problems also were legion. The king and queen wanted him dead. No one in Israel seemed to believe. He wanted to give up, but at God's prompting, he did three things that we can do too. He found a quiet place. He waited for the storm to pass, and he listened. Elijah's quiet place was the mountain of God. But when legions of problems threaten to overwhelm us, in what quiet places can we linger? Now, you might not know, but right between the church and Pentecost Park is a shaded prayer garden, open all day, every day. Also, anytime the office is open, where you're sitting right now, the church is open for prayer. Maybe your quiet place is a park near your house or a long trail you like to walk. When it feels like it's time to give up, go find that quiet place. And then let the storm pass. Elijah was in a cave at the mountain of God. There was a great wind, but God was not in the wind. There was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. There was fire, but God was not in the fire. When we relax into our quiet place, our hurting souls cry out. Often we meander through all the deferred feelings that our legions of problems have caused. So let it pass. Let the wind and the earthquake and the fire happen. Wait for the sound of sheer silence. Then listen. Elijah walked to the mouth of the cave, and he and God discussed the next phase of Elijah's ministry. After the storm passes, it's then that we usually get our instructions. Elijah got his after the storm passed, and so did the demoniac. Neither really got what they wanted going in, though. Elijah got instructions to start wrapping up his ministry. That's after the passage we read today. The demoniac got instructions to go home and declare how much God had done for him. Church of England bishop and New Testament scholar N.T. Wright comments, "But the real point of the story comes at the close. The man, quite understandably, wants to be allowed to stay with Jesus. Not only is he now bonded to him by the astonishing rescue he has experienced, he may well assume that things would not be easy back in his home territory, where everyone knew the tragic tale of his recent life. There might be considerable reluctance to accept him again as a member of a family or a village. He would have to stand up and take responsibility for himself. He couldn't rely on being able, as it were, to hide behind Jesus. He is one of those to whom Jesus does not say, "Follow me," in any literal sense. He is one of those, the majority, we may suppose, to whom he said, "Go home and tell them." Having experienced the good news in action, he must now tell it himself. So this week, go tell someone what God is up to in your life. And if the time is right, invite them to this quiet place where we meet Jesus together. In Christ Jesus, Paul writes, "You are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." Jesus' rescue nurtures a community of real connection, a place where people, no matter who they are or where they come from, are cherished and find belonging. Jesus' love binds us together and gives us the grace to accept and appreciate one another. We can join hands here because of Jesus' rescue, link arms, and walk together towards God's kingdom of love, justice, and peace. We brush up against that kingdom every time we walk through these doors. And you know why? Because Jesus rescued us. And because Jesus rescued us, we don't have to give up in the face of the legions of the world. Now, friends, as Jesus said, return to your homes and declare how much God has done for you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.